And welcome back for another episode of the Black Watch Report. I'm your host, Thorn Rain, and with me tonight, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How you doing this evening?
Pretty good, pretty good. Kind of a nice, chill day. I got some jazz playing in the background. Keep my mood nice and calm because we're in treacherous times, man. Tier 2 is falling apart and everyone's leaving and getting called up and everyone who's left is quitting and retiring.
So depressing. There's drama everywhere and give me matches already, but we have to wait.
We're all just dying of boredom and trying to create entertainment from that boredom and creating drama and blowing up the drama out of proportion. And let's just, can we just watch some games, please? Yeah.
May give I have another Pro game, Pug. Please, sir?
Please. Give me NA Pro Pugs. Listen to Chew. Chew's been trying to get NA Pro Pugs working and no one's listening.
Which
need something to watch.
Chew's trying, Mage trying, and there's another...
They apparently got like 20 support players and then like a tank and a DPS.
Yeah, like it was a rough showing. But like, I would 100% watch that. I guess the EU Pro Pugs are just like popping.
Oh, they're popping off, dude. Yeah. And I was watching some a couple days ago.
It's kind of depressing because I would love to watch me some PTR Pro Pugs, but I actually joined a pleb Discord for Pugs where I haven't got to play yet. Maybe tonight after the show's over, I'll hop in there and see if I can find a group. But saw some familiar Twitter names, but it's for gold and platinum players. So
nice.
I'm like, I can slide right in there to my trash tier. But anything fun this week?
Not that I can think of. I haven't played that many games, really. I've been crushing an Arcage Unchained with a friend of mine. It's a Korean MMO, and I've reached Ancestral 1, so I've been like doing the MMO grind whenever I play. But other than that, I haven't really played many games. I've been working on all sorts of stuff. And yeah. About it. What about you?
I've been basically only playing Hearthstone Battlegrounds. It's super fun and super addicting. I played a little bit of Overwatch, did two of my placements, off for support, won both of them pretty handedly, did pretty good. I felt good about myself. Maybe I won't play Silver this season. God, I hope not. I'm in this really weird spot talking about MMOs real quick. There's an event going on in World of Warcraft where if you finish the event, you get one of the coolest mounts based off of one of the most BA raid bosses that's ever come out. He's steeped deep in lore. It's Deathwing, the Destroyer, like the coolest dragon ever. And you get essentially a mini version of him that you can fly around on. But that requires me to get a subscription to WoW. And if I do that, it might be like crack again.
Yeah.
I may never come back. So I'm waiting to pull the trigger on that. I have until like the first or second week of January to complete the event. Mm. And it's just a couple raid bosses. So I might, but I want it. Even though I don't play the game anymore, like I want that mount on my account if I do come back because it's glorious. But I think that's everything. Show's over. No, I'm playing.
Yep. Let's go. Bye, everyone.
We were able to scrounge up a little bit of news, a couple topics to talk about. So let's get down into the news. The news is brought to you by our Patreons. This week, Patreon is going to be none other than Thugly. Thank you so much for your continued patronage. If you want to become a patron and sponsor the news, head over to patreon.com/blackwatchreports and just start off at the $1 tier to sponsor the news. So Kyle, take us away here on the roster moves.
So we got a double doozy here. We have two coaches going to the Florida Mayhem. One is Coach Kuki, former main tank for the Seoul Dynasty, then main support for LA Valiant, played over Custa because Custa's too smart.
Big brain.
And then Kuki went over to Runaway while he coached them to a very successful season.
Yep.
And now he's going to Florida Mayhem as the head coach, interestingly enough. I wasn't aware that he was the head coach on Runaway. I didn't think he specifically was or wasn't. But now he's the head coach of the Florida Mayhem. So We'll see how that goes. But it also does really set the scene for what we believe is going to be the big migration of Runaway to Florida Mayhem. So,
which will essentially steal all of the spotlight from everyone else's signings, you know, outside of maybe like the Sparkle signing.
Right.
And I don't know, the Mecco signing was pretty big too, but it Runaway getting wholesale picked up for Florida Mayhem. Expect to hear a ton about that if that is going to be what happens here. So,
and then with that as well is Docs, the coach from the MVP space, who is a team that's kind of just flown under everyone's radar. Mm-hmm. He joins as an assistant coach as well.
Now, this one, it's news, but it also has like conspiracy theories swirling in my head. Made and Obisell have announced that they are going to be coaching Tea Party. Made had sent out a tweet saying something along the lines of he was going to be coaching Tea Party, but he's still looking for a paid job because he has bills to pay, and I think he's wanting to stay in the States. So Made's not with the Legion anymore. We've heard zero movement from the Legion. And as we're going to talk about a little bit later, we're seeing some teams, some academy teams pulling out. Could Gladiators Legion be the next team to announce their departure from contenders here?
We'll find out at six.
Seems a little weird that, like, I thought May did pretty good as a coach, and now he's back to coaching, you know, unsigned teams.
They had a really good season despite everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a bit interesting. I think both of them are pretty good coaches, but I don't know what's going to happen of them. What's going to become of them? Hopefully good things. Hopefully it's just a temporary drop like we saw from Angry Titans. Yeah. And hopefully we'll just see them get picked back up and things go back to normal, but it's kind of unlikely. This one's, I think we kind of knew about this, or did we? Was this a surprise, or did we know what was happening with, I don't remember. Sharp going to Atlanta Reign was a bit, just announced here not too long ago. I've been up on Sharp for the longest time. I think he's absolutely sick. I think Atlanta's going to be disgusting next year. I think we're going to see an Atlanta shock, like top two battle. I think the storyline is going to continue here. Because you just have so many talented players on this roster now. Sharp is just a phenomenal hit scan. Being paired up with Erster, Baby Bay, and Edison now as well. Yeah. Oh my God. It's just like so stacked.
Super deep. DPS
I'm feeling
line.
About this roster as I was with the DPS roster from Shock. I'm like, really? They got Stryker and Sinatra? And like, oh, it's over now. Like, I think that this is going to be the ultimate battle next year.
And then fully, like, set up with the Hawk Gator as the tank line. Like,
right.
I can't wait to watch Atlanta. We've got many, many months at this point. Like, 4 months, I think. So next one here, a little bit of good news. Gladiators picking up Paintbrush from Revival. Revival did have kind of a rough go this last contenders. But we've seen Paintbrush bounce around. He looked pretty good. Who was he on?
Paintbrush was on Mayhem Academy and did incredibly well with them. Showed a lot of improvement over time. I mean, the whole team did, but I mean, he with the team improved greatly. And then he went to Revival, and Revival didn't do super duper hot, but they were plagued with some issues. But clearly, like, Gladiators thought he was good enough, and now he's very likely not going to see play much, if anything, maybe on garbage time. But learning from Big Goose how to mechanic Lucio, because I mean he Paintbrush seems like he already has a decent amount of knowledge with like how to call and stuff like that, but I think Goose is going to take him from, you know, from JV to varsity here.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly here. So I think that this is a great person to learn from. If Goose gets sick, if Goose gets fatigued from travel, Paintbrush can slot right in and probably do a pretty good job. So I think this is a great opportunity because he's not being thrown into a team and like, okay, I need you to carry this team. It's like, hey, you're going to come in here and you're going to learn from this absolutely phenomenal main support player, kind of learn how he does things, kind of figure out how you can slot into this roster if you need to, or you're just going to learn and we'll trade you away next year and you can help a new team.
Yep.
And then speaking of Gladiators, there is two new coaches joining Gladiators and SF Shock, both from a team that we thought looked really, really good in the Gauntlet, and a lot of the players deserved pickups, but maybe they got overlooked. But for sure, the coaches didn't, because Arachne and FaZe have joined the SF Shock, which is where Arachne went as an assistant coach, and then FaZe has joined the LA Gladiators as an assistant coach as well. So both of these coaches, I mean, they showed a lot of improvement with this team, and the talent came into Gauntlet looking absolutely fierce. And so it's great to see these two coaches get their call up.
Definitely. And then our last bit of news, we got the Guangzhou Charge signing Krong for the off-tank spot coming off of O2 Blast, and Wea for the flex support coming from their academy team, T1W. Just two more, I mean, okay, signings. I didn't get a chance to pay a whole lot of attention to both of them. I know Krong was talked kind of highly, not like super, super high, but I was reading that it was a really good signing for him. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know much. This is actually literally the first time I've heard about Wea, so I'm not sure about anything on his flex support play.
Yeah, I mean, going in behind Shu, you're not going to do much. Like, no. You're not going to see much play. Krong, on the other hand, very likely will. I think Krong is a pretty solid pickup. Not absolutely insane, going to be the best off-tank we've ever seen in the world, but, like, I think it's going to fit right in, fill Hoppe's spot, and do a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. So, now we're going to get down into the main discussion here. We're going to talk about the new contenders format. Just kind of go over a little bit of the stuff that we know. Like, we've got the leaked schedule. We kind of have how exactly the bracket is going to play out. So let's start off here with the 2020 schedule. Because it's weird.
Yeah, this particular format, I need to find a way to blow this thing up, dude. It is tiny.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, so the way it works, should we pull up this little clip thing too? Let me pull up the actual like intro description from the site. So instead of doing like a season format, they're doing this wacky kind of bracket system playoff tournament kind of vibe, and it's weird, but I like it. So what happens is they have open division for 8 weeks of Swiss format, then 1 week of playoffs, then moves into a single elimination, which is brutal, but welcome to trials. After that, and so they have this kind of like three-tiered system. So you go open division, trials, contenders. And then contenders is, again, a single elimination 12-team bracket. After that, you have your top teams and your bottom teams. Top teams continue on to contenders. Bottom teams go down to trials, where they face off against, I believe, open division teams again to keep their spot. And if you win trials, you get to go back to contenders. And if you lose trials, back to open division. And then contenders and open division for week two are running at the same time, and it kind of just continues on for 4 weeks of official contenders play and 4 weeks of trials play until there is the contenders playoffs, which is a 8-team double elimination bracket. So kind of confusing, but I think once we see it and get used to it, it'll make sense and will just kind of be the norm. but there will be a bit of like, wait, what is even happening this week? I thought there was contenders. No, it's just trials. Oh, okay, whatever.
So according to the schedule, this is starting in January. We don't have dates for this, but on the graphic, it starts in January and it runs all the way to June. So we're looking at half of the year for
one. Wait, where is this?
It's at the bottom of the graphic for the 2020 schedule season one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one. Weird. Okay.
So,
I mean, there are lots of weeks because you've got, you know, 8 weeks plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 plus playoff. That's 3 months at least right there. Mm-hmm. So I can see it going that long.
So if we're looking, though, that's just the one season, and that's going to lead up to, because we were told that we're going to be getting another set of showdowns and a gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
So if the showdowns are going to happen in June, July, somewhere in there.
What are we doing? When's gauntlet then? Because gauntlet was only in October, so that was 3 months after that.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit odd. It looks like we're either going to have two completely full six-month seasons, which, good.
Seems a bit unlikely.
But
I mean, it would be cool, but it would be unlikely to have,
because of all of the holidays.
You can't have a season last that long, too, because you have to have players signed. I mean,
mm-hmm.
October.
Yep.
Maybe we do both of the showdowns immediately, like a month or like not even a month later, leading into the gauntlet. That seems a bit interesting as well.
Yeah, it's just, it seems like it's going to be a very packed, and hopefully it keeps us entertained and not like right now where everyone is losing their mind
because
there's nothing to do. Play for sprays. That's about it.
Yep. So let's talk about the phases here, man. We're all sorts of phases, like this, the Avengers universe. Phase one, a season will first begin with open division in each region, open to all players of all skill levels, as long as they're not in contenders. This will run for 7 weeks, 6 weeks of Swiss, 1 week of playoffs. Top eight teams will go to trials. Trials will take place over 1 week. This is phase two now. We're 12 teams, bottom four from contenders and top eight from open division. The bottom four from contenders are as follows. Revival, Bermuda, Wavecheck, Square One.
Well, before we have that, there's like, I guess we could call it phase zero. Because it's on here, but it's not really on here as listed in the phases. Excuse me. Early 2020 will invite all 2019 season two contenders teams to a preliminary double elimination tournament, which will determine the seeding into the new system. Top four receive buys into their region's first contenders tournament quarterfinals as seeds 1 through 4, and the bottom four will receive buys into their region's first contenders trials. Now, this is where things get a little wonky for NA, because last season, season two of 2019, we had two regions, both with, what was it, eight teams?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we actually have 16 teams in NA. So the way it's going to work is there's going to be a special 16-team double elimination bracket for NA. So let me pull up the prizing. So, first, second, third, and fourth place all get sent into contenders for the week one bracket, with fifth through sixth getting the first and second seed in trials. Seventh and eighth will get the third and fourth seed. Ninth through 12th get the fifth through eighth seeds into the 2020 contenders trials, while teams 13 through 16 are relegated all the way down to open division. So your bottom four teams for NA, this is for NA because we have more teams, get sent straight back into open and have to play back out. So there's a small chance that we could see an academy team land in that 13 through 16 spot. Super small. And then we don't know what happens from there, because the last
time...
We
finally get your dream, though. We get your dream of seeing an academy team in Open Division.
Maybe, because both times an academy team has been even remotely thought about being sent to Open Division, they left. They just said, screw it, we're not doing this anymore. So I hope that isn't the case. But this tournament is actually starting... Well, I guess... Let's see. This is a multi-week... Well, January 11th through January 26th. So that's 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about 2.5 weeks. So January 11th, we get the winner's round of 16, with the 12th giving us the winner's round of 8 and loser... and yeah, the loser's rounds 13 through 16 and 9 through 12. January 15th, we've got the winner's round of 4 with the loser's round of 7 and 8. January 18th, we've got the lower bracket match 5 and match 6, so only 2 matches on that night, with round 5 being loser's 4th place, and that's on January 21st, followed up by January 24th. We've got the third place match, with the grand finals being on January 26th. These are all in Pacific time, PDT. They're starting around between 3 and 5:30-ish. So not too bad for the West Coasters. You know, 6 to 8 o'clock for me. So that's not terrible. I might actually be able to watch most of these matches. So that's kind of cool. So we've got to wait all the way till the second week of January until we get matches.
Yeah, a bit unlucky, but, you know, it is what it is. So I guess that leads into Open Division. So we know who's going into Open Division. We know who's going into Trials. So these middle teams will end up going into Trials. These middle 5th through 12th. They're going into Trials. That's phase 2, where they face off against top 8 from... 5th through 12th? That's not 4 people, is it? Okay, maybe that's next Trials. I don't know. That's confusing.
Yeah, that's... NA gets really weird because of how many teams
however many
had.
Spots there are. There's 12 spots for Trials. And then top 8 advance to Contenders. Everyone else gets... left behind. Phase 3 is where the first of Contenders bi-weekly tournaments will take place, alternating week to week between Atlantic and Pacific divisions. 12 teams, the top 4 Contenders teams and top 8 Contenders Trials teams, will compete in a single Elim bracket where points will be awarded. When we talked to
Dan
Schmaltz.
Yep.
Dan, he said they're still trying to figure out what the points mean. Maybe we got like a whose line is it anyways, where the points don't matter. We'll see, I guess. I don't think that's the case. That's just a bad joke. We do see this where the regions points would be awarded for the regions playoffs. The top 4 teams will retain their auto qualifications to the next Contenders tournament, which will be in 2 weeks, while the bottom 8 will compete in Trials. So it's basically like if you do well, top 4, you get to stay in and you just have a week off. Congratulations, you get to scrim a little bit. If not, your scrims are Trials, so you got to try to get back to that spot. And it kind of just goes back and forth, and it's Trials, and then top go up to Contenders, bottom go down to Open Division, and continue on. So it's you get a lot more motions. You don't have crap teams being dunked on by... you know, Atlanta Academy week in, week out. I assume the players and teams in that like unhappy realm of like your Revivals and your Bermudas and Wave Checks are probably not super stoked about this, because this means they have to work really hard. But for teams like Atlanta, Envy, Triumph, Second Wind, it's going to be a bit easier because you're not having to face off against these, you know, not great teams and kind of feel like a match was just wasted and you just get an easy bye win.
Yeah, all of these matches mean way more than all of the previous seasons, because we'd go weeks where the teams you expect to 4-0, and it's like, all right, it wasn't even really worth spending the time to watch because we knew it was going to happen. And we also get the new format, I'm pretty sure, where it's 1-3. So we're going to not have to worry about pity maps anymore, which is nice. Really looking forward to seeing how this new format plays out. Cause it seems interesting, a little convoluted, but
yeah,
it might be better.
So that should be a bit interesting. And then anything else from this? Top 8 teams will compete in regional playoff tournament to determine their region's champion. 2 full seasons of contenders in 2020, producing 2 championship winning teams per region.
Yep.
That's kind of, we knew about that, but I guess maybe it'll be a different format.
And thinking about it,
June is interesting.
The second season won't have the weird lead-in invite tournament.
Yeah.
Because you'll just roll right back into the teams that were in contenders or in contenders. The teams that weren't got to fight their way back up. So that, you know, 2.5 week, you know, double elim tournament won't be there. So it'll save a little bit of time, but it's going to be interesting to see where the second season ends. Like, you would assume that it would end before BlizzCon because of World Cup, like it did this year. Like, we ended, what, the beginning of November was the last time we had... No. We ended in September for contenders, and then Gauntlet was in October.
And then a little bit World of juice Cup. Just now, by the way. What? I mean, not juice, just like kind of just a little neato. Mentalist from GC Busan Wave has been signed to Atlanta Reign as an assistant coach. Super bit, tiny bit of news, not huge. Not like groundbreaking, but it's like the assistant coach that worked with Edison. So maybe Edison was like, yo, dude, if you have a coach spot, I have this guy I worked with who seems really cool.
And then I actually forgot to put this one in here, but Envy is also holding open tryouts for their contenders team. So we know that they're not leaving. They're starting fresh, but probably not fresh, but they're going to have a few holes to fill.
One spot available. Like, they only lost one player so far. So, I don't know. Maybe they're just looking for the best hit scan. We just need one hit scan. Pick up KSP, dude.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. We'll get into that next. I mean, unless there's anything else we need to talk about with contender stuff, let's get into the XL2 stuff.
I don't think so. Yeah, we can get into this XL2 stuff. And
all right. So, when was this? Not more than a week ago, XL2 tweeted out, "Today we're announcing XL2 will be taking a hiatus from contenders, from Overwatch contenders. We want to thank our amazing players and staff for their hard work of the past few seasons. And they are currently working with another team organization to ensure that they'll be able to find new homes." So what that means is, if I pull up Liquipedia and go to XL2, these players, as of right now, are like open, free to go. Bianca, there's rumor that he's going up to XL or to NYXL. Yep. Makes sense. Haku, free agent, flex support. Speedily, DPS, free agent. KSP, DPS, absolutely lights out, insane DPS, free agent. Buds, flex, free agent. Gig, main tank, free agent. And OG, support. BM sound barrier user, free agent. So there are some incredibly talented players on this roster that are now free agent, and I think KSP should go to Envy and just not lose a step, because then Envy basically becomes the haha, we've stolen all the good EU players and now we will make them good.
Yep. And sell them to the league.
Now. Yep.
So something else to note here about XL2 leaving. They held the third seed in that initial tournament.
That's the question.
So the seeds,
is it just a bye? Do they shift them up?
Well, seeds 1 through 4, according to that very difficult bracket to read. I was looking at the wrong bracket. So no, they would have to play. Let me see if I can try to figure out. XL2 was supposed to play Wave Check in the first round. So does Wave Check get a bye into the next round?
That's a lucky break for them.
Yeah, really lucky. Do they sell off the spot? Now, here's a theory. We have no clue what's going on with Fusion University. None. But we do know that if you have an academy team that is playing not in the Overwatch League team's home region, so that would be NA, you lose first rights to sign players. Like, you lose academy rights, basically. So do Fusion University drop their academy team, which is very much a possibility, because currently I think they have, like, 4 players, 5 players? Or do they come back to NA and take over the XL2 spot in this lead-up tournament?
I mean, as of right now, they have 3 players. Chungsik, Nice, and Snilla, with Karkar on loan to Skyfoxes with Who Are You as well. So, I don't know. It's a bit of an odd...
Like, between, you know, us not knowing what's going on with Fusion... And the fact that there's now a vacated spot in a tournament that starts in 2 months. So, what happens to that tournament spot? That's what I want to know. Most of those players that you brought up, I'm going to assume are going to land somewhere. Maybe an academy team. Most of them will probably end up on unsigned teams simply because... Enemy teams are starting to dwindle, and most of the ones that are still around have pretty locked-in rosters. I think Atlanta Academy might be in need of a couple players, because they promoted a bunch. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot of Academy spots open right now.
Yeah, not a lot of Academy spots open, not a lot of Academy teams left. Mm-hmm. Man, those big paychecks are being quite... I mean, we don't even... They're that big, but those existing paychecks are gonna be a hot commodity now. So one of the things I wanted to bring up is now we have 4 teams in the last 2 years that have dropped out. We have XL2, GGEA, which is Houston's academy team, NRG, which was the Shock academy team, and Mayhem Academy, Mayhem's academy team. As well as we mentioned this weird kind of shenanigans with Gladiator's Legion, they have word about Maid coaching elsewhere. Who is left on Gladiator's Legion?
I'm pulling that up right now.
Everyone. No one got picked up, basically.
Panker Rolf, Dalton, Water, Luddy, Stand One, ML, and XQC. Yeah. But
even still says Raptor, Maid, Rusto, ISO, all still on that roster as the org. So,
So
interesting.
It's, I don't know if like news just hasn't fully dropped, but Maid definitely announced that he was going to be coaching Tea Party and not Gladiator's Legion this year. So, well, this season, we don't know if it's the whole year or whatnot. We started off with so many academy teams that we needed multiple regions in NA just so people not on academy teams could play in contenders, to now we're down 4, potentially 5 or 6, depending on what happens with Legion and what happens with Fusion. Because, I mean, Fusion went to Korea. They didn't even make it, you know, into playoffs, or they made it into the first round of playoffs. I don't remember. They had a very lackluster season. And no clue. We've heard nothing out of these academy teams.
We see pretty good chances that Atlanta stays. We have pretty high reason to believe Envy stays.
Yep.
Gladiators Legion, like we said, up in the air. Uprising Academy. They lost two players, but they called them up. They seem to be doing an okay job. I don't know. Uprising is such an odd organization. They just like none of their players ever seem like that promising, but like they'll call them up anyways. And technically speaking, Muffin is a two-way player, so you're not going to have a two-way player if you're not going to have an academy team. So I guess that kind of answers that question. And then Montreal Rebellion, who have as well a two-way player in Roki. So
and
it's not quite the end times for academy teams. We just lost one, which kind of sucks, but
let me see, because I thought Uprising Academy made mention of doing open tryouts. I could be wrong. No, just how they promoted just a ton of people. Colsty, Spillo, Swimmer, Muffin, Mir. So, yeah, it's weird. But, like, out of all of the teams, I would expect Uprising Academy to keep their academy team just the way that they like to, like, develop unheard of talent and then sell them. Like, that's basically what academy teams are for. There was something else on here. Montreal Rebellion. Like, we don't know a whole lot other than that Roki's on two-way, and we also know that they made a big deal of having a home stadium for the Rebellion to play in. Like, where they're going to be able to play their matches live in front of a, like, fan audience. So, I don't see Overactive Media dropping the Rebellion anytime soon. I think we're pretty safe with the Rebellion. Man, most of those other teams, like, no worries with Atlanta, but I'm still so worried about Gladiators Legion and Fusion because they're two of my favorite teams throughout the seasons.
Yep.
And it's like, we're potentially seeing
Fusion, who was like the best academy team ever.
Yeah. In the history of contenders, like, the name holds the longest win streak for contenders. And we could potentially not see them playing anymore. And it's kind of depressing when your fans that are dedicated to Tier 2 seeing these names leave.
Yeah.
Well, Fusion University right now. See if there's been anything. Because I don't even remember the last time.
I didn't see a tweet from them in a long time, yeah.
October 30th, when they said, thank you to Beast Halo, Fuse, and Bernard after they got picked up. So, yeah, nothing coming out of Fusion University camp as of late either. So, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I don't know. There's not much else to do but wait and see with this. I mean, I think if I'm Fusion, I mean, they just had a pretty good call up. They had some player sales that got them some good money.
Yep.
They called up Alarm. I think you can continue. I mean, this team seems to be one of the most successful, like, ways to bring up and sell off talent and keep good talent that you want. So, yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes.
And I think that's about it. I don't think there's a whole lot. I'm gonna check Twitter really quick because stuff drops literally minutes after we stop recording. It always happens. Nothing new that I see. Man, it's just the dark times, man. It's so horrible trying to find anything to talk about at this point that isn't something that's just, like, oversaturated. You know, it's kind of depressing, but we got 2 months and then we've got matches back. We'll probably end up taking some sort of Christmas break, like maybe the last 2-3 weeks of December, because it's the holidays, nothing is going to be going on in Overwatch whatsoever, because everybody's going to be home with their families. We'll all be doing things. So once we get that fully locked down, we'll announce the weeks that we won't be doing any shows. But even if we have to sit here and ramble on about random stuff within the scene, who knows? Maybe next week we do nothing but talk about payment drama. Because that could be its whole own episode.
Yeah.
There's a ton of tweet longers about who's responsible, who's not responsible, why they're responsible. It's nuts out there. It's like the Wild West when it comes to payments for these unsigned teams. So, Kai, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at Twitch. But I don't stream ever, but if you want to follow me on Twitch, go ahead. Kyle the Winner. Twitter is where I do all of my stuff, basically. Kyle the Winner there as well. Instagram, if you care about that, it's all just music for me. And then the Discord, most important thing. That's where we get all the big, quick announcements. Literally, as soon as they happen, Monkey Prince is throwing them in the announcements.
I swear he doesn't sleep.
I think he just has an RSS feed that like shocks his wrists on like an Apple Watch every time something happens. So he wakes up and then types it up real quick. And so, yeah, I think that's about it for me. Join the Discord. Come hang out. Keep up on all the team news and stuff like that, and chat with us and the other podcast hosts and coaches and managers about weird stuff. And yeah.
Definitely. You can find me over on Twitter at ThornRain. Twitch, I do all of my streaming right here. I might finish out my placements tonight. I'm kind of feeling Overwatch recently. But if you're an audio listener, swing by the Twitch, create a free account, hit the follow button. And if you happen to have Amazon Prime, you've got a Twitch Prime. We are affiliates, so you can hit that subscribe button, help out the show. But if you really want to help out the show, completely free, head over to iTunes, leave us a review, 1 star, 5 star. We read them all, and we give you the shout out on the show that you deserve, because it's how we know if we're doing a good job or if we need to fix anything. So we really do appreciate those reviews. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. You can email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, or concerns, follow the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our very own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com, and come and chat on that Discord that Kyle talked about over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.